Mos, the Alto Kutz Pesochach Tov, that don't despise the discipline that Hashem disciplines you. That means if you suffer pain, it's very difficult. The concept that we find the Talmud Chvivin Olecha Yisurin, are the Yisurin very acceptable to you or dear to you? Why? Because the one who Hashem, like it says in the next pasuk, Asher Yehav Hashem Yochiach, the one that God loves, he's the one who he reprimands or chastises. So now it says, Musar Hashem, if you get chastised by God, so Al Timos, don't despise it, accept it willingly. If you have pain, so you should, God has disciplined you, you should accept it, because if you don't accept it, so the idea is that you will defeat the whole purpose of the discipline, because the purpose of the discipline is, discipline meaning punishment, is to teach you. The Alto Kutz Betochach Tov, and Tokotz means you can't stomach it anymore. It's mos, it's abominable to you. So Besochach Tov, realizing that this chastening that you receive from Hashem, this discipline, so therefore accept it willingly. This is the idea of Bor Dayana Emes, that a person really accepts it. Dayana Emes. But it's not only, God forbid, a loss, but what it means when a person suffers pain and suffers anguish, so this is also something that is, Hashem has made that for a special purpose, and that this person should better his ways, or as we find that sometimes this compensates and this takes care that he doesn't receive his punishment at a later time. So therefore, if you have betochen in Hashem, a person is supposed to be able to accept that. Although we find even in the Talmud, one Tana was visiting another one who was suffering greatly, so he asked him, Chavivin Olecha Yisurin, are the Yisurin, the punishments that you receive, are they dear to you? So he answered, Lo Hein Velo Schoron, I'll be Mocha, meaning I'll overlook their Schar, the compensation that I get for it, and Lo Hein Velo Schoron, and I don't want the Yisurin. I remember my Zeilo Shalom used to quote that as a child. I remember he once told me somebody said the pshat, lo, hein velo schorin. He was such a big tzaddik that he says, let me have the Yisurin without any compensation. Not expecting compensation, but the fact that Hashem gives me the Yisurin, so it's not because I realize that I'm going to get compensated, but since it's God who is punishing me, because he says that in the next verse, that this is like a father and a son. Es asher yehav Hashem yochiach. God doesn't bother with someone who he doesn't love. One who he loves, he's the one who he disciplines. Uka'ov es ben yirtzeh. And then immediately thereafter, he placates you the way a father goes ahead and punishes his son. And then a little bit later, he takes him out to pizza. So the idea is that, in this day and age anyway, the idea is that it's all best for you. Shiftecho, some interpret the pasuk, Shiftecho umishantecho, like we say in Tehillim, thy staff, umishantecho, heimo yenachamuni, they will console me. So it says, even the same staff that God strikes you with, Mishantecho, that turns out to be shown, meaning a basis to bolster you, to strengthen you. So when you speak to a child, he's screaming away, the father punished him, but we all know that basically the father is not angry, and if he showed anger, he'll shortly thereafter appease him, and that it was all for his benefit. So this passage is also oft quoted. Es asher yehav Hashem yochiach. This is quoted very often. The one that God loves, he is the one who he chastens, who he reprimands. If this doesn't mean, Asher Yav Hashem Yochiach, meaning that this is 100% true in every calamity, in every catastrophe, or every tragedy, it's Asher Yav Hashem Yochiach. Not necessarily so. But his idea is when a person has to realize that Asher Yav Hashem Yochiach is a strong... Also, we'll learn later that even if the rush is successful now, at the end he's going to suffer and his houses come toppling down. So he'll say that's God's love for him, Asher Yehav Hashem Yochiach. Obviously, it's not true. But this is a very primary idea. Here is a person who supposedly is not evil, and he's a fine middle, average middle class person, and all of a sudden, I mean, and he's suffering calamities, and why should it be to him? He's not worthy, we'll say, of such. So this is a very important factor to consider, that as Asher Yehav Hashem Yochiach, that God is punishing him. Why? Because he is punishing him not as a bad neighbor next door, right, or as a Russia, but he's punishing him as a loving child. I mean, you could hit your child, you could hit a guy that's trying to steal from you, but it's a big difference, right? So this doesn't mean that this is the universal answer, and this involves all circumstances. There are many other factors and many other situations.
I use Down syndrome. Yeah.
Who knows what the fact is? The fact is there was an neshama perhaps that had to be down here for a while, like they say, without talking or without something. So they figured, well, we'll put this neshama down in this situation. This guy has to get a punishment, we'll say, because he did something wrong. We want him to suffer. So we'll put both and we have a fine shidduch. Who knows what the reasons are? What I'm trying to say, there are a million different angles. Some may be from benefit and some, and they're all put together. The classic example is, I think I mentioned it many times, the Gemara in Makkos, which says if one person killed, I don't know, did I mention it to this class? Yeah, in the same hotel, God puts them together. One person killed, there were no witnesses. He's an intentional murderer, so they can't do anything to him. Another person committed manslaughter, and he's supposed to run to the city of refuge, but nobody knows about it. So what happens? So you have two cases. So they both attend the convention in a motel, and one person walks up on a ladder, and the other person unintentionally knocks the ladder over because he was negligent, and the other guy is killed, and this one, everybody saw him commit a negligent act, so he has to go to Golos. So God brought the shidduch together. There are so many different facets and aspects that we don't begin to understand. I gave you a perfect example. You have the neshama that has to spend a little time here, for whatever reason it is, and you have a guy who's destined to get a punishment. So you put them both together, like in a hotel, and that's what happens. And this is in many different things. But this is just telling you that the fact is that as Asher Yehav Hashem Yochiach, so Musar Hashem B'ni Altimos, meaning a Roshe who doesn't go, who didn't recognize God and so on, he's not going to have any tinus and scream, God, why are you chastising me? But it's speaking here about B'ni, a person. A person means who recognizes God, who considers himself a son of God, and therefore he gets a certain punishment or a chastisement. So it tells us here, Altimos, because ki es asher yehav Hashem yochiach. But it doesn't mean that this is the absolute answer for all tragedies of men. All right? Ashrei Adam, blessed is a person, Motzo Chochmo, who has found wisdom. If a person is able to find wisdom, so he is the greatest person to a sense, you know, that he has been truly, truly blessed. This is something that is very important. Ve'odom, and a man, yofik tfuna, who can give out discernment. That means wisdom and discernment, understanding, is very difficult. Rashi says if he learned wisdom to the degree that he is so accustomed to it that he can express it with his mouth. What does this mean? What do the words of Rashi mean? He learned wisdom to a degree that he could express it with his mouth. So you ever, and a teacher could appreciate that he understands it. You know what I mean? He could, most kids will memorize something. They'll say, they can say to Gemara, I made a landing. So he tells me, Gemara, I say, explain what you're saying. So say over the same words again. That doesn't mean anything. Tell me in your own words. So that means that you have the wisdom. Just to go ahead and to mock something, to go and imitate, that doesn't mean anything. So he's saying, Ashrei Adam Motzeh Chochma, but Ve'odom Yofik Tfuna, and he gives forth this wisdom, and that's called Tfuna. Why Tfuna? Because Tfuna is the part of wisdom that shows Mevin, understanding, okay? So then, just Chochma without understanding doesn't mean anything. Kitev, all right, then he's now going to tell us a section of the benefits of wisdom, that a person can have wisdom. Now there's another aspect, Ve'odom Yofik Tfuno. A lot of times a person can accumulate a lot of knowledge and he understands the knowledge. But in a sense, he's missing what they used to say, the fifth Shulchan Aruch. You know what I mean? The fifth Shulchan Aruch. how to be mavin dovor, how to see the future, to derive, to discern. This is something which is fortunate, because a person who doesn't have that, so the chokhmah that he has is very nice if you want to look at a dictionary or an encyclopedia, but it didn't change the person. That odom yofik tfuna, yofik means also to take out. Ashrei odom metzah chokhmah, when does it really have a value? If it's odom yofik tfuna, if from this chokhmah he's able to derive tfuna and understanding. But if the second part of the verse will say is missing, the odom yofik tfuna, to give out the tfuna from that, so just the matzah chokhmah, the wisdom itself, doesn't really accomplish too much. It can be harder. No, that's a simple meaning, but I'm saying something else, that not only explain, he understands the wisdom, but he has to learn, he understands truly this wisdom. But all he understands from it is this wisdom. The wisdom hasn't given him a different approach in life to look at other questions, you understand, with the same approach, with the same perspective. So when is the chokhmah, when is the wisdom more than just an accumulation? What is the difference really? Although we can't even use that as an example anymore because computers already, but it's still only that which is programmed, which is matzah chokhmah. The idea, the human component, all right, of yofik rotzin, that is not shayach, okay? Person doesn't have, sometimes you have to use wisdom. It's interesting. I always use this as an example. I once had a lifetime guarantee on a battery. So I bring back the clerk the battery because it wasn't working. So he then goes ahead and he gives me another battery. So I said, what, could I have back the lifetime guarantee? He says, no, this battery only comes with 2-year guarantee. It took me about 20 minutes trying to explain him that if number one had a lifetime guarantee, so I don't care what anything comes from, but he had the knowledge that this says lifetime guarantee and this has 2 years guarantee. Now where's the tfuna, the wisdom to understand that you have to take the lifetime and it overrules the 2 years? That's already autumn yafik tfuna. You understand that? You're not dealing with. And that's the difference from a human being to a machine. All right, Keith, yeah? This was the manager. The wisdom, in a sense, gives you a certain, we also spoke about in the previous passage, David HaMelech told Shlomo that Leman Taskil is Kol Asher Taaseh, study Torah in order that you could understand everything that you should do. What does that mean? So the Mitzvah says there, I think I mentioned to you, Leman Taskil is Kol Asher Taaseh, even that which you don't have in the Torah. By studying Torah and understanding that which you're studying, then your knowledge will be such that you could take over the reasoning and the logic of the Torah. L'man taskil es kol asher taaseh. You know, they say that someone is a student or he's a disciple of this great scholar. Now, what does this mean? It can mean to a degree that he remembers or he knows many of the chidushim of that person. But that's not the main thing. You could take books and you could read his books. If he's given out books, then you could read his books and become... What it means is that you've in somehow attached yourself, and they say, for example, they would say, my Rebbe, he never said anything that is didn't hear from his father. Or they said it in other people too. That can't be true because there are many circumstances or situations that came up that they didn't hear from his father. You find this all the way back. But the answer is that you become such an individual that you think like that person. So in learning, they call that a derech in learning. He has this derech, this road, this approach, this direction in study, okay? So that's the hidden ingredient that a person has to achieve. All right, now he's going a bit further and he says, Kitev, this also is a Yiddish song, I think. Kitev sachra mischar kesef. It, the commerce, the business that you do in Torah is better than what? Than kesef. Now normally, if you sit with someone else and study, Rashi explains the following. If I go ahead and I buy something from you, I want to buy this radio or this tape recorder. So I have money, you have the tape recorder. We exchange. So you have the money, and I have the tape recorder. But if I have a parsha of Torah, and you know a parsha of Torah, and we sit and exchange it, we both end up knowing two parshas of Torah, because I retain my knowledge, and plus what I gave you, But on the other hand, if I taught you something, in return you taught me something. So if it's a monetary thing, if it's a material thing, we both don't have the same thing. But if you're dealing with the spiritual thing or with study of Torah, it can both accumulate. That's what he's saying. Ki tov sachra and misler Torah. It's better than kesef. Ume chorutz tvua so. Chorutz is a very expensive type of fine gold. So it says that mechorutz tvua saw, the tvua, the growth that goes out of it, so that is mechorutz, that's more expensive than, it's more valuable than the finest gold, because that forever remains and the price doesn't fluctuate with you. So that's what he's saying, the benefits of Torah is, kitov sachro, the commerce of it, is better than doing business in silver. Now, again, all of these you've heard of phrases. Yikora hi mipniim. The Torah is more valuable than pniim. What are pniim? Or pninim, or pniim, or pearls, all right? Vechol chafot secho, and all your desirable things, everything that you could desire, cannot be compared to Torah. That means lay yishvu bo. You can't even compare it, right? Chafot secho. Whatever you want, cars, this and that, lay yishvu bo cannot be compared to Torah. Now why? Why won't they be valuable as Torah? So on this pasuk, Yikorim Mipninim, Mipniim, the Malbim says an interesting interpretation. He says the Pniim, the pearls, are very dear. Why are pearls very dear? Because they're really not found on the earth. They're nearly not found on the earth that a person lives on, but the source of it comes from the source of mayim, of water, because the pearls you take out of the water. So that means we know that the Bria, that all of creation is composed of different elements. This is the element of water that is really, man doesn't live on water. So he says, the idea is the same thing. The seichel that a person has, the chokhmah of the Rabbeinu Shem, the chokhmah of Torah, cannot be found in the seichel of a human being. A seichel that a person has who dwells, the seichel dwells in the body, the chomer. So the seichel itself is only an outgrowth from the heaven and from the special spirit that Hashem put into the individual, which is even further than, not as accessible, it's further than the depths of the water. We say that the pearls, he says, are very expensive because it's not where you live, but it comes from the depths of the water. The seichel that Hashem gives is not the seichel of a behemoth, the lower seichel that a person has. We'll say an animal also, you'll say, has wisdom to know what to eat. But we're speaking about the intelligence. The intelligence of the human being is a gift from the heavens above, which is much further than the depths of the water from where you get the pearls. So that's the comparison, why you compare it to pearls. It's a beautiful comparison. It's much further and much deeper than the pearls. So yikora hi mipniim. And therefore, he says, so although you have to pay an expensive price for this stuff, the price that you pay for error and the price that you pay for knowledge of God, you have to give up all of your, we'll say, the chafetze haguf, all of your material wants, and you have to sacrifice many times your desires and your appetites and your taivas. You have to give all of that up. That's but, he says, ko cheftzecha leyishvu bo. Whatever you go ahead and you give up, it's worth it. Why? Because nothing can be compared to the wisdom and Torah that you achieve. It's worth for you to give up all of your worldly desires in order to achieve the true understanding of Torah. So that's what it says. Yikora hi mipniim. It's more dearer. More dearer because it's further away from our being able to grasp it from pearls. If you take all your material things and all your wealth and everything else, it can't measure up and it can't be worthy of Torah. Orech yamim biyamino, these are all psukim that we quote. Orech yamim biyamino, lengthy, long years of life in its right hand, is that you'll achieve, and bismola in its left hand, you will achieve Eisher v'kavod. You will achieve also wealth and kavod and honor. What is the benefit of money? The benefit of money is you have ashiris, you're wealthy, whatever that means, and it's power, whatever, and also v'kavod, it's honor. People honor you. If you have money, everybody honors you, right? Even a person with money is recognized by everybody. Even a Meshuggah, if he's wealthy, they don't call him a Meshuggah. Eccentric. A Norman, they don't say an eccentric as a Meshuggah. But a Gevir, eccentricities, right? I mean, not Meshuggah. So the idea is that what does the wealth hold out for you if you go after these worldly treasures? It holds out in his right hand, it holds out Esher and Kavod. But the Seichel, he says, however, when you're dealing with the Seichel, the Chochmah, so the main idea is the Chochmah is different than that. That also has Esher and Kavod. But the Esher and Kavod of the Chochmah is in the left hand. But the Chochmah is in its left hand because that's not the main thing. But what does he keep in the right hand? In the right hand, it keeps Erech Yomim, long, the gift of long days. Erech Yomim meaning a pleasant life in this world, and also in Eilam Hazeh, an Eilam Abba, which is much greater than Ashiris and Kavod. The truth is, even you'll say in this world, you could say that it goes on the length of this world also. Why? Because who has Kavod? Once they leave this world, the person could be the wealthiest person, and he could also have a lot of honor when he's here. But once he disappears from this world, there's no Arichas Yomim for him, and let's say on this world, nobody remembers him. Right, they'll make a Rockefeller Museum, but it's the most you'll remember, it's the Rockefeller Museum. You don't know which Rockefeller, what Rockefeller, you couldn't care less, right? So really, from the physical Asia, the material Asia, the COVID that he had, there is no Erech Yomim to that Esher v'Kavod. But the Kavod will say of a person who is a great tzaddik or a great gong, hundreds of years. I mean, there isn't one day that, how many times a day do you mention? You mention Chafetz Chaim, how many times a day you'll mention Rabbi Feinstein's name in the whole world? So actually, that's really an Erech Yomim, in a sense. That's even going without Eilam Habo. We're speaking even in Eilam Hazeh. That's an Arichas Yomim. That your remembrance for your zikoron, your memory, your contribution will remain forever. And you could be zeicher for that. The biggest gevir will have at his levaya perhaps 5,000 people. It's a lot, right? But here you could have 500,000 people. So, I mean, that's even if you're speaking in the terms of Kavod of this world. The Ari, 38, or Ramchal, Mesillas Yeshayim, Ramesh Chaim Latzato. I mean, these are people that's Arichas Yomim in a sense that on this world, I'm trying to say, even if it's not the world to come, it's this world, but it doesn't mean the physical body necessarily in this world. It means the contribution, the essence of the person remains in this world forever. They don't mention La'avdol Elef Avdolah's George Washington's name as many times a day as you mentioned Oseidah Chofetz Chaim. But it also gives you Bismela Esher v'Kavod. Now you'll say, what kind of Kavod? Because we know that Esher or Asher, who is really rich, we say, a person who's happy. And what's the real Kavod? Kavod is, well, Kavod also he gets Kavod. You know, you'll say Kavod means honor, that people give him honor. That's happy would be a good word because, well, content is the same thing. It's not only he accepts his lot. You could have a person who accepts it, but it's miserable, but it means he's happy or he's content. I thought he doesn't notice these things, and that's the koach of that, which is so true. By how many people in this world, very few to begin with, does wealth have no meaning at all? How many people?
Huh? Mother Teresa.
Besides Mother Teresa. Right, that's what I'm trying to say. So the teretz is the natural instinct of a person. Everybody is money, money, money. Now to go against such an addiction, or such a tremendous force, you have to have a supernatural strong force that can subdue that. And this is the force of the Chochmah of this Torah, because the only thing that can change the person is this. Definitely, there's no question. There's no question. Because there's no rhyme and reason for materialism. We were analyzing this in the class the other day. I was telling the boys, when you think into it, there's no logic for it. Why should people, and they're fine people, and the third world suffers, but why should people who have billions of dollars want more? And in that way, come out losing, you know, whatever they had, and have thesaurus, and bizoyon. I mean, mamish bizoyon, everything else. If you own America, and you own Canada, what do you got to own Britain? I mean, what for? What is that drive? Now, if that's not a drive of Aveda Zohar, meaning there's no reason or logic to it. I like this interpretation of Erech Yomim B'Yamina, Bishmela Isha V'Kovo. Drochea Darchei Noam, this pasuk we recognize, right? Drochea Darchei Noam, the path of the Torah is Darchei Noam. Darchei Noam means a pleasant way. Now, it's interesting, you find in the Talmud certain places, certain in Yevamos, in certain things, it speaks about certain laws. Why isn't it that way? So the Gemara says, because Ein ze darchei noam, because the Torah says, drachea darchei noam, the ways are ways of pleasantness. And if this would be that, the Talmud said they had the Kabbalah, so it's not darchei noam, it's not a way of pleasantness. So the way that you omit this, or the way that you say this isn't the Torah approach, is because it's lacking the Kabbalah, because it's lacking in darchei noam. It's not used too often, but it's used. Now, the difference from a derech to a nesiv, derech is a major thoroughfare, and nesiv o'seho are small little paths. Nesiv o'seho shalom. It's like saying that the Torah is a darchei noam. When you get to the main highway, it leads to pleasantness. But even getting to this main road, if you're taking a little path, like the Malbim explains, to get to this main road, whatever the path is, if you do it according to the way of the Torah, it's complete, it's peaceful, and it's proper. V'chol nesiv o'seho, to reach that, to achieve that, is shalom, is peace. Lo yavo bishum tzad michshol. That means that he can't go wrong by doing a mitzvah of the Torah if he was supposed to do it. Somebody asked me this morning, Yeshiva, when I rebbeim, that's really a source for, we find the idea of shomer mitzvah, lo yeda dovor ra. Right in the Talmud, it called the passage, a person who guards a mitzvah, who keeps a mitzvah, will not know or will not find davar or anything bad through the keeping of the mitzvah. We have the famous quotation, shluchei mitzvah, einan nizokin. All right, that a person who goes to do a mitzvah, if that's his whole intent, right, einan nizokin. And even if his intent is not that 100% pure, because the Gemara says, that if a guy says, I'll give this money to tzedakah, with the understanding that my bishvil, because I'm making an oath, bishvil sheyichye bni, my child should live. So l'cheri, the Gemara says he's a tzadik gomor. Harezeh tzadik gomor. If God didn't do it, he won't ask for the dime back. You know what I mean? But if a person will say, says, I'm going to give a dime to charity, with the understanding that my son, my son will live. So it says, Arei Tzadik Gomer. So Tosfos questions, it says, Al Tiyu Ka'avodim Hamishamshim Esarav, that you shouldn't be like a servant serving the master with the understanding that you will receive pras, but for no, not understanding. So it's a question. Here you want the payment, you want the compensation. So Tosfos says, that understanding there is that if you don't get the pras, you know, I went to shul, right? I didn't get anything for it, so maybe I wish I never went. That's what it's talking about. But if a person has an ulterior motive for it, but he still honestly, sincerely wants to serve God, except he'd like to get paid back for his mishaberech that he's giving the money, bavush and other, he wants to get something for it, but he would still make the mishaberech anyway, so that person does have a mitzvah, and that mitzvah is enough to guard him when he's doing that mitzvah. So that's what the Mitzvah says. By doing a mitzvah, by doing something which the Torah tells you to do, you can't really meet an obstacle in its way, in your way.
What about people, how do people want to study Torah so the Romans can put obstacles?
No, that's something else. But what he's saying here, that Eitz Chaim, that he's saying, Drocher Dachei Noam, right?
Yeah, he says,
but he's saying, as you're doing a mitzvah, Ratzolema, if you're going in a derech l'torah, doing a mitzvah, le'yovei b'shum tzad michshol. Now the Romans trying to stop him wasn't called a michshol. I mean, that was a madrega, that a test for them to go to overcome. Now, you're asking, all right, so let's go further. If the Romans said no study of Torah, so the Gemara goes one step further. So the Gemara challenges this. So the Gemara says, Shmuel said, how could I go and anoint David? Shaul will hear, and he will kill me. So then God told him in the beginning, Shmuel, take an egla, take a sheep, and say that you're going to... So why does he have to take a sheep if he's going to anoint him? So nothing's going to happen to him, the Gemara asks. So the answer is, Hecha d'shriach hezeka shani, that if you're going to walk into a car, right, so then you can't say, Shluchei mitzvah, I'm running to shul, I go against the red light. Right? Mr. Kober should live and be well. You know, he didn't look, he was going in, he walks across our collar, the cars are going back and forth. Shluchei mitzvah, you know, I get to shul, nobody's going to bother him. But we're Shriach Hezeka. No, the Gemara says, even coming home, the Gemara says, is also in the Nizakin, otherwise you wouldn't go. But what do we see? The question is, where you're going against the natural events or whatever it is, so obviously it's not going to solve it. All right, it's a Gemara actually. Hashem eitz chayim hi l'marzikim bo v'somcheo meyushor. Now there are two types. Eitz Chaim Hi. You know we sing that. Not the Nashkamim minion. The second minion will come. Eitz Chaim Hi. Yeah, you didn't know. He looks at me. You know where? Eitz Chaim Hi. Yeah, you start singing as Nashkamim minion, you'll miss the Kiddush. Eitz Chaim Hi means it's a tree of life. Eitz Chaim Hi, a tree of life. When machazikim bo, for those that hold on to it. V'somcheho, and those that support it. Meyushar, they will be blessed. That means that they will be blessed, that they'll be fortunate. So here again, the Malbim says an interesting shot. He says, a person who naturally, there's some people who are scholarly, or naturally, you see, especially in kids. One kid doesn't know how to play ball, doesn't want to play ball, he wants to be, to sit and learn, all right? So for him to go and sit and learn, he doesn't have a Yetzer Hara, who's trying to pull him off of his chair. Now that's a person who is a tzaddik. Naturally a tzaddik. Then there's a person who is a kovesh, meaning that he really is not a natural tzaddik, but he conquers, subdues it. He has to fight with his inclination. That's the person who is a kovesh. That means he has a bad nature, but he's over to overcome his nature. So here it says like this, l'machazikim bo, the one that has to hold on to it, meaning that he has to fight, he has to grab hold of it. He's the kovesh whose nature would be otherwise, but he has to make sure to hold on that it doesn't slip away. He takes all of his strength. So for him, for the kovesh who holds on against his desires, so as if the chokhmeh wants to leave him, this chokhmeh is still, he's kovesh es yitzro, and that is an eitz chayim, but that is a tree of life. V'somcheho, and the one who doesn't have to grab hold with all his strength, right? Because it's a natural thing for him. Somcheho, meyushor, he is very worthy. So the person who is the kovesh, who works hard, according to his star, so of course he will be meyushor, because he put in a lot of effort. He had to overcome his inclination. But even the one who is a somcheho, even the one who it comes naturally that he supports it. So you'll say his schar isn't that great. No, with somcheo, even the one who just holds it up, he doesn't have to grab hold of it because it does comes naturally. Meyushar, he is also very fortunate.
Yitzes, Hashem b'chochma yosad oretz. Hashem created the world, has set the world down with wisdom. Konein shamayim Bitvuna, meaning he created the world according to the Torah, that's Bechachma. And he says, Rashi learns that Tvuna is another name for the Torah, and Das is a third name, Chachma, Bina, and Das. So it says that God created the world Bitvuna, Bidato, with his wisdom and knowledge, the wisdom and knowledge He created the world al pi Torah, so it comes in that the Torah was the blueprint. So bedato, with its wisdom, to homos, the depths, nifko'u, were split, and there appeared dry ground, the way we read in Bereshis, ushchokim, and the heavens, yirafu tol, they dripped forth dew. So it means that the world was created according to the words of the Torah. So therefore, all the wisdom is in the Torah. A person to conduct himself in this world, the logic is that if he follows the Torah, so he'll have the proper map in order to be able to move, to function in this world, because the whole world was created from these blueprints. So you have to read the instructions. A lot of times, we don't have the patience or the desire to read instructions, so we start tampering with something ourselves. And that's when you break it. But if you go ahead and you read the instructions, so then it's done properly. So if the whole world was created from the Torah, so the Torah is the book of instructions. Therefore, Bini, my son, al yaluzu me'enecha, don't lose it. Don't let it depart. Yaluzu means to move away. Me'enecha, since the Torah is so dear, so don't let it shift away from your eyes. Neitzor toshio umezimo. Guard toshio, its wisdom, umezimo, and thought. So the idea is that wisdom and thought, meaning keep the Torah, bimase, in its deeds, and also that means the mitzvos, and also the machshava. Now, the mezima that it says here, netzor toshia umezima, mezima means the deep wisdom, and toshia are the maisim that you do according to this wisdom. So it says, netzor, guard, toshia, the deep wisdom of the Torah, umezima, and abide by the mitzvos, or the maasim, that one has to do, or that one does as a result, because we have that state, that phrase, Talmud mevi lidei maase. If a person studies, so then he will come and he will do more. So guard, that's why he uses the double expression, guard the chokhmah of the Torah, toshio, which is the chokhmah of the Torah, umezima, and the result of this chokhmah, which is the mitzvos. The yiyu, and this will give chayim l'nafshecha. It will give like life to your soul. V'chein, and attractive beauty, the gagarecha, it will grace your neck. Now, again, the Malbim learns, what is the question here? Nafshecha, he says, means the soul, the spirit of man. Because a soul will get life. When do you say that the soul gets life? That's only when you use the soul. When you go according to the soul's dictates, to the spirit's dictates, then there is chayim, then there is life. But if a person goes around in this world and he totally ignores that emphasis that his soul places emphasis on, he ignores Torah mitzvahs, which is really related to the soul, and he just carries around an extra soul, so in a sense that soul is not living. That's why we say, Rishoyim b'chayeyem kriyim mesim. The Rasha, when he lives, is already called a mess. What does that mean, he's already called a mess? He doesn't have to go to the other world to be considered that the neshama is dead. The neshama is dead over here, already, because he's not using the neshama. So if you don't use it, so it's dead. It's like the guy says he dies at 30 and he was buried at 70. So the idea is his life stopped functioning, the life at 30.